These are the words of Jesus for you, certainly for me, for each of us. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run up to these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
You can see the title of the topic for this morning. We're in this series, Life is Too Short, and we know, don't we, that life is incredibly short. And life is too short to waste it by worrying. Anybody here a natural worrier? My mum reckons she had a PhD in worrying, okay? And she wanted to hand, she didn't want to hand it down, but I think she handed it down to every one of us in the family. And I remember when we actually got the text message, we were in a little place called Azise, which is a beautiful little place on Lake Garda, expecting to travel home the next day. Just got this text to say, by the way, you're not flying home tomorrow, there are no flights. How do you react in a situation like that? And that's small compared to some of the calls or the texts that we get in life. It's interesting talking about worrying. In the passage we read a little while ago, it says this in Matthew 6:27: "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" Sarah, can we have a little look at this? It just made me smile. I don't know if any of you did the height charts with the children, but as we get older, I wonder if actually we did the measurement on our anxiety levels. I wonder what it would look like. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Well, of course, the answer is no one. But what we do know, and we know from research and from the medics, is that we can't add life through worry, but we can certainly shorten it. And they reckon somewhere between 4 to 8 years if we are regularly in a state of anxiety. Scripture says this: an anxious heart weighs a person down. Anybody agree? Yeah. Our bodies were never designed to handle worry. So when we worry, our bodies literally take a hammering. Just think for a moment, the last time that you felt really anxious, how did you feel? Did you feel refreshed? You don't, do you? You just feel exhausted. It's medically acknowledged that prolonged anxiety just leads to all kinds of physical and emotional problems. And I'm going to suggest to you, of course, they have a knock-on effect in terms of our spiritual life. Would you agree? God says, don't worry, because worry just doesn't help us. It doesn't work. It doesn't change anything. Have a look at this next quote. It's from a hero of mine, a guy called Rick Warren. He says, worry has never solved a problem, it's never paid a bill, never cured an illness. It only paralyzes you so you can't work on the solution. Worry is like racing a car in neutral. It doesn't get you anywhere. It just uses up fuel. Worry can't change the past. It certainly can't control the future. But what it does is mess up the present. Charles Spurgeon, another hero of mine, said this. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow. It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. God says to us, don't worry, because every time we worry, all we're doing is robbing ourselves of the happiness God wants us to enjoy today. Are we all in agreement? But it's one thing knowing that. It's another thing not worrying. Would you agree? I've actually said somebody actually saying to you not to worry is about as useful as a concrete parachute. They just don't work. It just winds people up. So let's have a little look at what Jesus said about worry. And please have a look at verse 25 and 26 with me. Because I'd like to suggest three things why Jesus says to us, don't worry. In Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. These are words from Jesus to you this morning. They're words to me, they're words to Sue. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And this is the point I want to make just here. And have a look at this, because I think this is really important. And it's something that we fail to grasp, I think, so often as Christians. Jesus finishes this sentence by saying, are you not much more valuable than they? And it's talking about our worth. And it's talking about how God values you. I was listening to a sermon of Rick Warren, and he was talking about a time he went into a prison, quite a tough prison. A lot of people there were actually convicted of all kinds of violent crimes. And he took with him a $20 note or whatever note it was. And he asked the people there, would anybody like this note? And of course, a load of hands went up. Yeah, I'll have it. And then he then proceeded to scrunch it up. And so he got all, it just looked terrible. And he opened it up again, and it was no longer this sort of crisp note. It was just all wrinkled and whatever, and said, would anybody like it now? And the answer was, yeah, we still want. Because what they were realizing and recognizing was actually what he'd done to it there hadn't devalued the note at all. It still had this still intrinsic value. And then what he did, he took it, he wrinkled it all up, scrushed it up, threw it on the floor, and he stamped all over it. And then he picked it up, and he said, would anybody like this note now? And all the hands went up, yes. And the point he was making is that sometimes we don't realize the value that we have because the world has actually scrunched us up, spat us out, trodden all over us. And there will be people here this morning and those watching online who will have experienced things in their lives that have hurt them so deeply. It's hurt you to the core. And I can't tell you how many Christians I have met who have a diminished view of their self-worth because of the stuff that's happened to them. For some of you, it happened when you were a child. For some of you who've experienced domestic violence, it's come from a partner, somebody you felt you could love and trust, and they've just beaten you. The world throws all kinds of stuff at us. And it can seriously affect the way that we think that we are valued by God. But just as Rick Warren was just showing that note to the people, so it was all crumpled up and actually being trodden on, it still has the same value. And if only we could begin to understand the value that God places in us, it would just change the way that we look at life and the way that we react to it. Jesus says to us again this morning, are you not much valuable than they? One of the precious things for Sue and I while we've been on holiday, when we're having breakfast, we were sharing breakfast with little furry friends or feathery friends. Because they'd come ever so close to the table and they were wanting some of the crumbs from the bread. Oh my God, my goodness, it just melted my heart just looking at them. And they were cheeky little things. And if we weren't looking, they'd hop onto the table, do you know what I mean? And they'd come in and try and get your cheese sandwich or whatever it is. But there they were. And God was taking care of them. They just looked so healthy. God loves those little furry things. But how much more does he love you this morning? And for some of you, you just needed to hear that because life's thrown a whole bunch of stuff at you that makes you think, well, I can't be worth much, can I? A German theologian called Walter Kasper writes, experiencing God's love in Jesus Christ means experiencing that one has been unreservedly accepted, approved, and infinitely loved, that one can and should accept oneself and one's neighbor. I love these verses from Isaiah 46. It's from the New Century Version, but please hear it. It says, I have carried you since you were born. I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I will take care of you. I made you and will take care of you. I will carry you and save you. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But it's more than a picture, it's a promise. Because of the infinite worth that God sees in you and in me. But I must be honest, if I ever begin to doubt the way that God views me, I go again to Calvary. I look there at the Son of God who created the cosmos, who hung there and died there. Not because of the jealousy of some religious leaders or because of the cruelty of a Roman system. But he went there because of his love for you and me to bear your sin on that cross and to bear my sin there. It wasn't the nails that kept him there. It was his incredible love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You were worth so much to God that he gave everything for you and for me. You know, when you know how much, just how much God loves you, you tend to worry a bit less. Would you agree? When you begin to see this incredible love of God, and you look into his eyes and you see eyes. Those of you who are parents here, you know those moments when you look into the eyes of your children. And when they look back at you, all they can see is this wave of love coming towards them. There are other looks sometimes, I appreciate that. But my goodness, if that's how we love our kids, how much more is this remarkable love that is not tainted or stained of God towards us? One of my favorite authors is a guy called John Ortberg. And this is what he had to say. Again, I think it's coming up on the slide. It may be a very bad thing that I needed God to die for me, but it is a wonderful thing that God thinks I'm worth dying for. Isn't that powerful? He goes on to say this. God sees with utter clarity who we are. He is undeceived as to our warts and wickedness. That's something I find so precious. You don't have to pretend with God. He knows everything. You know, before you came into this world, he knew everything about you. But when God looks at us, that is not all he sees. He also sees who we are intended to be, who we will one day become. We sometimes say love is blind, but it is not so. Love alone truly sees with this double vision. Do you realize? Do I realize? And of course the answer is no. But please, God, may we today understand a little more of the magnitude of God's love for us because of the value he places in us. He says, don't worry, because actually there's nobody or nothing more precious on the planet than you. But the second thing I want us to touch on, and we see it in these verses, we don't need to worry because he knows what we need. Verse 28 to 32. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. If we know God, we don't need to worry. Why? Because he's promised to take care of our every need. I've talked a little bit about parenting, and is there anything that we wouldn't do for our children? I've said to you that even the most gentle mother, okay, if they saw their child being attacked, would actually become a gladiator at that moment, because there's nothing they wouldn't do to actually protect their child. Well, we are God's children, and he loves us even more than we love our children. He takes care of our needs. Some years back when I left my paid employment to go into Bible college, I've shared this story with you before. I was asked to go and speak at an event, and this lady was there, a delightful lady called Margaret, and she gave us a £5 note. And she said, I want you to receive this £5 note as a promise that God will take care of your needs. And so we took that and we just thought, oh, thank you. That's just a precious thing. Even back in the day, a fiver wouldn't have got you a lot. But it was a down payment, if you like, a promise from God. I'll just take care of it. Well, anyway, the church that we were part of, in Cardiff at the time, just as we went off into to Bible college, they sent us a check, which was rather lovely. And on that check was this verse. It just says Philippians 4:19, and it said, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Just written on the check. And we looked at each other and we thought, oh my word, that is so precious. And I tell you why it was so precious, was because we'd been trying to sell our home for a year. It hadn't sold. I was starting Bible college. We had the only income we had coming in was our child benefit. What was that? Something like 80 quid? I can't remember. We had a mortgage to pay. We had food to buy. We had bills to pay. And all we had was child benefit coming in. That was our guaranteed income, plus this fiver from this lady. And we just had this check with that promise on it. And I remember, and there's so many things I could tell you about that period in our lives, where I had a company car, and my company car obviously had to go back. But my company car was going back about 3 days after I'd started Bible college. And on the weekend, Jonathan, our oldest boy, was at a birthday party. And I rocked up at this birthday party in my car. And one of the parents said, oh, Davis, love, you've managed to keep your car then. And I said, well, actually, no, it's going back in a couple of days. And they said, well, how are you going to get back and forth to college? And we went, don't know. because we didn't tell him that we actually had diddly squat. Because the hope was that we'd sell the house and we'd live off some of the equity and all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, isn't that a strange thing? He said, because I've just changed my car and I always part exchange my car. But God told me not to part exchange it because he has another purpose for it. He said, I think you're the other purpose for it. Would you like our car? And I said, but we can't afford it. He said, no, it's okay. You pay us when you can afford to pay us. And I tell you what, it's incredibly moving when God supplies your needs like that. And we could give you example after example in that period in our lives where actually we didn't have any income, but the way that God provided. And you know, if we went around this room and had testimony after testimony, you'd be able to share the same things. You see, because God knows what we need. And I love the fact that in those verses, it says this, and my God will meet all your needs. Not some of them. He knows what you need. But that includes relationships. All you need. That includes money, as we've just been talking about our own situation. All you need. And in that period, where frankly, it was, we just didn't know where the next penny was going to come from, we look back on a God who just provided. And you may be going through a challenging season at the moment. As a church, we've been going through a challenging year. And God makes that promise, is that I will take care of all of your needs. And for some of us, it's easier because we've got a track record of seeing God's faithfulness over many years. You can look back on them. You can recount, like we've just been given that illustration there. Many of you could give many more about God's faithfulness when the chips are down. Why? Because God loves us. He values us, but he knows what we need. Just one side point here. It doesn't say all our wants. There's a big difference between our needs and our wants. I've got this running joke. I always want a bigger table saw. Sorry about that. I like woodwork, and so my table saw is perfectly fine. But Sue says to me, why do you need another table saw? I don't need it. So I actually haven't got it. God will supply us our needs, not our wants. He's never, ever promised to subsidize our selfishness. Last point. Jesus says, if we really want to stop worrying, we need to change our focus. We're not to be like the rest of the people. In Matthew 6:31, it says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But verse 33, I think, is critical for us. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I call this a Teflon verse. Worry can't stick to a life lived like that. We allow God to take center stage in our lives. I've paraphrased this verse as, put God in the center and he will sort the rest out. Think of the moment, at a moment, for the things that really matter to you. If you're like me, right at the top of the list of people, they're my wife and my children. But my love for them, as big as it is tiny compared to God's love for them. And so I have to say to God, they're yours. And I tell you what, that sounds simple, but actually, as I mentioned to you a few weeks back when our son was critically ill and having to hand Jonathan over to the Lord, that is not as easy as it sounds. But actually, it becomes easier when you realize that actually God loves and is in control. I do believe that worry looks a bit like this, and I don't know if you can see it, but I've got clenched hands. And I think worry is, and what that does to your body actually is you sort of really grip your hands. It sort of tenses you all up. And God says to me, let me open your hands, Because what you are and what you have is not yours, it's mine. So why don't you offer it? And when you unclench your hands and you open them, the release in you, there's a physical release in your body. But I'm going to suggest to you there's also a spiritual release, an emotional release, where we actually recognize that actually all that we are and all that we have and all that we aspire to be is actually in God's hands, not ours. Just as I bring this into land, I read this in my quiet time. Ever notice how much energy it takes to keep a tight grip on something? Come on, you know what you're holding on to, don't you? You're in turmoil because you can't control the people or circumstances in your life. Release your grip. Go ahead, surrender it to God. You'll be amazed at how much more energy you'll have and how much easier life will be. Once you make the choice to surrender it to God, your hardest days become your easiest. A.W. Tozer wrote this. I wonder if you can relate to what he's saying. Father, my cowardly heart fears to give up its toys. I cannot part with them without inward bleeding, and I do not try to hide from you my terror of the parting. I come trembling, but I do come. Please root from my heart those things which I have cherished so long and which have become a very part of my living self, so that you may enter and dwell there without arrival. What are we focusing on? What is the apple of our eye? Let me finish with this quote again from Rick Warren. When you live in the light of eternity, your focus changes from how much pleasure am I getting out of life to how much pleasure is God getting out of my life. We don't worry because we are greatly valued. God knows our every need. And when our focus is on him, the things of earth grow strangely dim. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that these are words directly from the mouth of Jesus, where he's saying to us this morning again, do not worry. Lord, for each of us that find it so easy to worry and more difficult to trust, we pray that you would help us this morning. Help us, Father, to have a greater understanding of who we are in you. But Lord, you're a God who's in control and you can take care of all of our needs. And help us, we pray, to put you center and first in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to offer the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Amen.